Welcome to the Wheel With It podcast with your host, Devin. At Wheel With It, we are dedicated to exploring DEI issues in a fair, balanced, and fun way. Let's get into the episode.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Wheel With It. I'm your host, Devin Wieters, and today we have one of my favorite people on the planet joining us, my former college professor, Dr. Jen Billinson. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? I'm doing good. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so excited to be chatting with you. We've been trying to do this for a while and it just took forever. So I'm so thrilled to be here.
So tell us about yourself and your kind of expertise and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a professor and director of the communication and media program at Nazareth University, which is a small liberal arts school in Rochester, New York. I study digital culture, social media. I study media, I teach media, and really I'm obsessed with media. Like when I try to think of a hobby or something I do that's not media related, there are none, which might be a little sad. But so one of my areas of research is the use of music and media after tragedy or disaster. So I look at a lot about how individuals use media for different purposes, for different reasons.
So how did you get into that?
Yeah, so I am somebody who absolutely uses media to regulate my emotions. Like if I'm sad, I listen to sad music. If I need to cry, I'm going to turn on one of those like tearjerker episodes of a TV show or something like that.
Oh so my gosh, my parents are like, how can you watch this?
Yeah, do you do that too? I'm interested to know, do you do that? Like when, if you're sad, do you watch sad things?
Well, I'm attracted to sad things anyway. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe Same. It's my struggle with anxiety and depression.
Same.
But like, and being an Enneagram 4, I'm attracted to like deep stuff. So my parents are like, how can you watch this? I'm like, I don't know.
And people who don't do it, don't understand it. Like there are some people who, when they are sad, they want to be made happier. So they'll either like listen to happy things or watch happy things. I'm not that way. I like to like feel it. I'm the same. I'm going to feel these emotions and then I'm going to feel better. So I was interested in like why people do that. And so I started studying it. And so that it kind of took off from there.
So how did you like, what was your like education process like? Like where did you go, undergrad, grad school, PhD kind of thing?
So when I was in high school, I was a high school newspaper nerd. Like I was on the newspaper staff. I loved it. I thought I was going to be a magazine journalist. So in 2001, I went to undergrad at Indiana University, which they had an amazing, and they still do have an amazing media program, but I was going for journalism and specifically magazine journalism because Devin, I was like, magazines, everyone's going to be reading physical magazines forever. Like that's a solid career choice. And thank
Facebook goodness.
Right. Exactly. There is no social media when I went and I was like, it's all magazines, baby. Like I'm just going to be writing for magazines. And I realized quickly, which is really lucky that I did not want to be a journalist. I was anxious like interviewing people, which is why I think it's amazing that you can do this because it made me so anxious to have to
interview people. This was in person, like forget it.
Is it easier for you like over like Zoom? Yeah, I'm the
to,
same
like,
way
process and like I we also speculate that I'm like slightly autistic because I have trouble making eye contact, so this is like way easier.
I find it so much easier to do this over Zoom. Like just so much easier. It's easier to watch the person I'm talking to and then I think there's like a processing thing too that I find useful too. So I hated interviewing people. I didn't want to be a journalist and I took a class on the Beatles in undergrad. And it was a class that was literally all about the Beatles, like the history of the Beatles and the reaction to the Beatles. And I remember just seeing it being like, oh my God, like it is so cool. This impact that these like 20 something year old musicians had on the world. And that's when I started realizing I really wanted to study media and teach it. And I also the same semester took a class on race, gender in the media. And that got me really interested in issues of representation. So the two combined. Excuse me, I went to grad school at Syracuse University for my master's and then my PhD. And then the rest is history.
So you also study social media.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that because I was listening to the podcast that you were on that just came out today.
Yeah.
And you guys were, so tell us a little bit how it started,
Yeah.
The dumpster fire right now.
It is, and it is a total dumpster fire right now. So I started studying, and when I went to CNU, which is where we met, like when I went to my last teaching job, they were like, will you teach a social media class? And I said, absolutely. I love social media. I study it a little bit. I was super into it. You know this because we follow each other on social media, but I'm a heavy social media user.
Oh my gosh, your Twitter account, I will link it in the show notes. I don't do Twitter, but your Twitter account is like one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you, because I will not shut up. I just keep like tweeting, I posting all the time. People are probably like, what, like get a job? And I'm like, it is my job. So I just love social media. So I started teaching it, and we're just in the weirdest moment in social media. And I don't know if you're experiencing this too. Like you mentioned, you don't use Twitter, but a lot of people who are on Twitter are trying to find like other places, ways out of Twitter, trying.
Yeah, it's great. Like when it's used, when it's get your news, keep up with like fan communities.
Yes.
But I quit Twitter when somebody called. Okay, this is probably sad, and this probably shows that how obsessed I am with Survivor. But I quit Twitter officially when somebody called Jeff Probst a misogynist because a woman got voted out.
Really? Wow. Did they? Was there any context or just a woman? But and he doesn't even have any control over who gets voted out.
No.
Okay.
He did have one big blemish with there was a girl that was being inappropriately touched by a male contestant, and they didn't respond in the way that they should have, because people will make up some crazy stuff to advance themselves in the game. But God forbid if that happens again, they have additional psychologists now, they have an investigator now.
Yeah.
So that's done. But other than that, he's been amazing. And
I mean, I think that you totally have like a great point, right? Like this idea that we don't have to be in these social media places. Nobody can force us to be there, and we don't have to listen to like other people's nonsense or things that we don't allow. Like we don't have to do it. We can leave. We can leave these spaces if we want. It's harder for some people than others because of community and things like that. But I think there's never not a good reason to leave these spaces if they don't serve you.
No. And like, as soon as as soon as that came out, I was like, okay, we've obviously lost control. I am done. So
I'm done. Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
So, like, how do we fix it? Like, is there a Twitter alternative?
There are like five that they're trying to make a Twitter alternative. And I think that part of the thing, and this is one of the things that I was talking about on that other podcast that I did, is the fact that for me, I use social media for news, like especially Twitter, I use for news, but I also want to be connected to the people I want to be connected to. Like I enjoy hearing what other people say, but I want to be where my community is, where my friends are, where the people I'm interested in following are. And so far they're not in any one place. I think that Blue Sky was potentially like a really interesting space, but you can't be a new alternative to Twitter if you're still in beta mode and nobody can get on there. Like the idea that you had to have invite codes only, I understand why they did it, but it still is exclusionary, which gets rid of some of the things that Twitter was great at doing in its heyday. So we've got Threads, we've got Blue Sky, we've got some people on Mastodon, we've got Post is another one. And they're just, everyone's just kind of scattered trying to figure out where to go.
I really liked the idea of Post because it was like micro blogging. And I know that if you do blog and podcast, like sometimes you get like more views, but I'm like, I don't have anything to write about. So basically when I do a blog, because I prefer speaking over writing, less fine motor skill involved. And so when I do a blog, I just do like a written version of the podcast. And so to help people find it, like a summary and timestamps, but I'm like, I don't have anything to blog about.
Some long form. Yeah. I'm like, I don't have a long form blog thing to post. I don't know what to post. I don't know what to do. And then the other question is like, if you're going to be on all of these spaces, do you just keep posting the same thing in like five different places? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like it's so, because I am the only one working for me right now for no money. And so mm-hmm. it's like, I'm my social media person. I'm my scheduler. Because a couple years ago, when I was still in college and doing this as like a hobby, sort of like, oh, let me speak to your scheduler. I'm like, this is me. So.
You're doing it. You're speaking to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me. Yeah, it's do you struggle?
It's crazy having to keep up with like 10 social media accounts. Just like, what
do you, which social media account do you find is the best, is like the most useful for you for as a podcaster?
Instagram.
Okay, cool.
Because you can put like little short videos on Instagram and TikTok, because you can put like little short videos on your Instagram. Like there are websites that'll cut up your long video into short ones.
Cool.
And YouTube Shorts. So any kind of short form video.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. That's where you want to be. And so, and then if you can't even get to an audience on these other spaces, it's like, why do it?
Yeah. And I've tried to do Twitter just to like tweet out like witty little things, but I'm like, what?
It's hard, and it's hard too. And then once you're doing it, like if you're doing it professionally, which you are, it's probably like, it feels like pressure. Like, oh my gosh, like, what do I say? Like you probably get in your head of like what to write. I know
oh my
I
gosh.
Do.
They were talking about on another podcast I listened to called Real Pod. I highly recommend it. You're a little bit above the age range for it, but I think you would enjoy it. I think it's geared toward more my age, but I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah.
And she was talking about, she had two other content creators on, and they were talking about how they constantly think in terms of content. I'm like, this has got to be content. I'm like, why do we think like this? But it's our job. So I mean, you know.
And I feel like the problem is though, people who aren't even doing it for their job also think of that way, right? Like as opposed to this idea of like we're using social media the way that we. There was the promise of using social media as a way of connecting with individuals and like finding community. And I think we've done that in a lot of spaces, but that idea of content, needing to push content out constantly is like a real issue.
Yeah. We are not created to be like content machines. Like no. We're not like,
no.
I can't keep up with the content domain. I don't post as often as I should because I can't keep up with the content domain. Like that's, it's great. It's,
yeah,
it's crazy. Like
it's wild. Yeah, absolutely.
So, what do you like? What would you like to see social media be?
That's a great question. The place that I'm finding like the most joy, and the app that I think brings me like the most joy and like makes me think of the potential of social media, and it's not without its downside for sure, though, is TikTok. I spent a ton of time on TikTok, and I think obviously there's so much bad there. There's so much bad in all these spaces, but I think it's kind of, I don't know. I think it's been a cool space to learn about new topics, learn about new things, like be exposed to people I'd never be exposed to. I think that's kind of what I look for social media. I think that I want to see. And for a while, I wasn't sure about what I wanted to see from the social media organizations, these social media companies, but I want to see them stepping in a little bit and doing things about misinformation or disinformation, making these places like a safe place for people to be.
Or people that are getting genocided.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like maybe you just don't participate in a genocide Facebook, like all of these things, like they're just, it's just kind of awful. And
so
people,
what exactly happened with the genocide? Because I knew they somehow like encouraged it. Well, they basically did, but
yeah. So it's complicated, and it's not like my area and I don't want to like misspeak, but in terms of like in Myanmar, they were kind of regulating or not regulating certain content that was being put out and allowing for it. And so that resulted in just essentially enabling a genocide. And so with a lot of things that have happened with these social media companies have been, sometimes they'll side with certain governments. Sometimes they'll side with like political leaders. Sometimes they'll side with activists, but it's kind of been all over the place, which has been not really a safe place for a lot of like individuals and a lot of people.
Yeah. Ultimately. And like do you think that they should be held liable or not?
Yeah, it's such a tough question.
Because it's such a, like, I'm like, my dad, who is really very, very conservative politically, yeah. goes, yeah, hold on. And I'm like, Dad, it's not that simple, because if you do that, when one social media platform doesn't like the other, they'll just sue them out of business. And that's not good either. So,
right. It's so complicated. It's so complicated. And I think that you have people who are conservative or people who are liberal, both wanting social media accounts to be held to certain restrictions or regulations in different ways. Like, no one can even agree on what they want these social media platforms to be doing. For me, I kind of look at it like they're so powerful. They've become so big. They're not state-run media. It's not the government. So they're not beholden to the First Amendment, but they have so much power. And with power, you know, comes responsibility. And they haven't been really responsible in, you know, creating spaces or honestly treating, having procedures or policies that kind of just go across the board and apply to everyone. That's also been an issue.
Yeah, because I'm like, these people, again, I'm going back to Survivor, example. These people that bash Survivor, and not just bash it like, oh, I didn't like, but like, when that whole season 39 thing happened, and again, he handled it completely wrong. He admits that they're doing better now. But there were borderline, it didn't come out in these exact words, but there were like threats to his family, threats to, I'm like, they need to be taken off. Like, this is kind of maybe sound a little extra, but you know, I'm extra about to buy. I was legitimately worried for both his family. He's got young adult children. I'm like, he needs security outside of his house right now if he doesn't already have it, because it was a mess.
It's one thing to say, I don't like what I saw on this TV show. I don't like it. I don't like this person. It's a completely other situation to threaten acts of violence. And because Twitter or Facebook aren't beholden to the First Amendment, they have the ability to restrict things like that. They have the ability to say, you can't say that on this platform. You can disagree, but you can't say we're going to threaten your family, we're going to threaten your life. Like, they have the ability to do that, and some of them have been doing it a little bit.
They didn't actually say that, but it stirred it up to that line.
It escalated to that. And that's the other thing too, is like, and when they're making these decisions, a lot of times, up until, you know, now we have a lot of things that are automated and AI is coming into it, but a lot of times it's individuals, or it was individuals, making those decisions about what's okay and what's not okay. And they need to be clear across the board, like, what is okay and what's not okay to say in these spaces. I think like, from what I've seen, Threads is really interesting. Threads seems, which is owned by Zuckerberg and is a Facebook, you know, Meta company. Threads seems to be really crack down on hate speech or things it like does. That. Yeah, in ways that other spaces aren't. And I think you can do that without infringing on people's ability to talk openly. Like, we can disagree, we can have big disagreements, but I think you can crack down on hate speech.
There's difference between disagreeing, which, even to use that today, I disagree. And that's like the only time I've disagreed with probes. Like, I disagreed with that.
Yeah.
But I didn't like, I said, you have to do better. And then I took it down because it started getting like, we're going to threaten your life. Like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Again, they said fuck you, but they didn't threaten his life, but it's escalated to that line. I'm like, I don't want to have any part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, for sure.
And it's like another thing. So it's one thing to disagree, but it's another thing to like threaten people and say you're going to kill people. And like,
right. And maybe it doesn't have to be that vitriolic. I have friends who study the idea of like civility online, like an incivility online, like in terms of the way that people talk. And it's like a real issue. It's not nothing.
So what do you think about Instagram and like Instagram and like body image and all that?
Oof, that is such a good question. Because if there was one, I don't have kids. If there was one platform where we have enough data, enough information, and enough like insider information to know that it's dangerous and harmful to people, it would be Instagram. And I say this as someone who enjoys using Instagram myself, but I've had
to, I love using Instagram, by the way.
I love it. I mean, I love it, but I have definitely found myself like going down these rabbit holes or these, and I say as someone who's now like 40, like seeing like these wellness influencers and things like that, posting things that are really harmful. We know that Instagram users, especially younger girls, it is like, it can be potentially detrimental when it comes to body image and their ideas of self.
Have there been any studies on TikTok? Because I made a personal TikTok account for my personal content, because evidently you have to have two of everything now.
Yep.
And, you know, when you first make an account, the algorithm doesn't know what you like. So it shows you a lot of other people. And to like every other video with somebody like shaking their butt or shaking their boot, I'm like, what?
It's so funny because I think that people who don't use TikTok, that's what they think TikTok is. Because if you don't have an account and you just sign on, you see these like people just like dancing all the time. But once you use the algorithm, like I don't see any of the dancers anymore.
No, I don't see any of the lewd dancing. I skip it too.
And what you said is a great point, because that's the problem with all these algorithms, is they can take you down these like rabbit holes. Like you might just be, you know, sign on. You're like, oh, TikTok, I want to learn about makeup or cooking or reading, like all these things. And then if you're especially a younger person, you might be more susceptible to it. It might take you down these little avenues that you didn't even know existed. And that's a problem with the algorithm too.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I was just going to say, I don't know of any studies specifically about body image and TikTok, although I imagine that there are some that exist, if not already, that they or will be coming out soon, because it's such a great place to look at that.
We need to do a study on disability representation in TikTok too.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? Like, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love the concept. I don't love some of the influencers on there, because there's one girl, her name's Wheelchair Rapunzel, and she's in a wheelchair, and she basically does or did. I don't think she does so much anymore because she has a kid now and she has a partner now, which is good.
I know what you're talking about.
She did all this like lewd stuff. I'm like,
yeah,
you don't need to be doing that.
Yeah.
One other girl who was like, who I think took it a little too far. Like, she was hateful to like able-bodied people, like educated people, but in like a hateful way instead of I'm like, no, you don't need to be. That's not what this is for.
And it's probably so hard, like you obviously can speak to this, but like we've had such little to no representation of like disability in media. So when we start getting representation on like TikTok and like social media, it probably feels like there's a ton of pressure on those like creators or like for the community, right?
Yes, and like nobody's perfect. Like you're gonna say something wrong, but like don't be like don't lewdly dance or like be hateful or.
Yeah.
Like I went through a drama, and I won't get too much into it on the pod, but I went through a drama with my ex-boyfriend who ended up being abusive, and his previous girlfriend who just lived to cause drama, and they're both in wheelchairs, and the girl who is not a nice person just lives to cause drama, and she tortured me and one of my friends for like 2 years. And she just tried to follow me on TikTok. Now, in fairness to her, she might not have actually tried to follow me. She might have just requested it. And then when I changed it from private to public, it just came through.
Okay.
But it looked like she tried to follow me on TikTok, and I had to block her. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And she totally plays off the disability saint narrative. Like all people with disabilities are saints. They're not going to do anything bad. And yeah, it's crazy. And I've worked on it a lot in therapy. That's why I can't really talk about it now. But it's crazy. It's some of these people are not good.
It's also wild to have to be connected to people on social media that you might want to not be connected to, right?
I love being connected to other people with disabilities. It's just not, when they're not good, they have ample opportunity to stalk you. So is there anything else you would like to add before we get off here?
I want to ask you, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How have you, so I think that as you mentioned, like fandom and like fan communities on social media, that was one of the biggest, most positive things I think about social media was the ability to connect people across fandoms. And like, you find other people who are passionate about what you're passionate in. And I remember, cause I used to watch Survivor like back in the day, and I know that you mentioned the real uproar on Twitter for season, was it 39?
Nine.
Okay. How do you, like, what is the online social media community for Survivor like now in 2023? And like, where are these groups?
Oh my gosh. Okay. First of all, most of it is not worth it, but there is this one community called Rob Has a Podcast. He has a podcast where he talks about all these, like, analyzes the strategy. And if you become a patron, you know what Patreon is?
Oh, yeah.
If you become a patron of his, you get to support him monthly. And part of that is you get to join the Facebook groups. And they are amazing. And they're giving it to me for free right now. I have to re-sign back up. But because financially, I didn't listen to... it just wasn't working, but yeah. I have to re-sign back up when I get the money, but it is so good. Like, you should do a study on that. That's what it should be.
That's so interesting that you mention it, because I think more and more of these, and it is a problem, because as you mentioned, a lot of times money is tied into it, but I've seen a lot of positive things on like Patreon communities or communities where you have to be accepted into the community, like you have to request and then be accepted into it, as opposed to just this open thing. And I think it's because people aren't going to invest time if they're just going to troll to like pay money and like to,
yeah, they're not going to pay money to troll. Exactly. And like Rob offers his critiques of the show too, but it's not hateful. It's they're hilarious. They're not hateful. It's just, it's good.
Is this the guy who was called Boston Rob?
No,
this is another Rob. Okay, a different Rob. That's what I remember from my old Survivor days. I remember. Okay, so this is a different
Rob. You remember the Amazon? Survivor the Amazon?
Brief, a little bit.
You remember the guy that was like, why is Butch keeping the machete so sharp?
Yes. Yeah. That's him. Okay. All right. Cool. Awesome. And and my other question is like, what do you think about Survivor? I'm just so interested. And I know that you're just such a huge Survivor fan. And I used to be a Survivor, like so into it. And I just fell off like probably 10 years ago. I don't know if it was because of grad school or teaching or what, but like, if I wanted to get back into it, I feel now that there's so many characters and so many people that I've missed.
Oh, you have to watch 43, season 43. They have an amputee, a broken knee amputee, and the guy with CP.
That's right. Oh
my gosh. Like, I'm just like, folks should teach the class on disability. And I'm like, this is crazy. It's not that hard. Like,
yeah. What do you think it is? And then I'll stop asking all these questions, but what is it about Survivor, in your opinion, that gets it right about disability representation?
I think honestly, he would probably blush if you heard me saying this, but I think honestly, the tone starts at the top.
Yeah.
And Probst is, well, first of all, Mark Burnett, the guy that co-created it, is one of the purest souls that you're probably ever going to meet. Yeah. And then the tone starts at the top with who runs it, which is Jeff, has been for the last 20 some seasons. And Jeff doesn't play that crap.
Yeah.
Jeff just doesn't play. He's like, if you're going to be racist, like, get out. If you're going to be ableist, get out. Yep. And he doesn't allow it, so it doesn't, he go and he listens to people. He doesn't think he knows everything.
Yeah.
So that's how they get it so right.
That's such a good, that's, those are all such good points. And I feel like those are such good reminders. Like that's a good reminder to me as I go into the classroom again, right? Like this idea, like I set the tone. So like I am, can be responsible for what's allowed in the classroom. This idea of like not knowing everything, but asking questions. I feel like we all need to do that.
And I'm not saying they've been perfect. They've had their missteps in the past, but those have been corrected now. But by and large, he doesn't tolerate that. Like,
yeah,
he's awesome. Just like, you're going to be racist in front of me. Get out. You're going to be ableist in front of me. Get out.
Yeah. It's so important. It's so, and I think that if no one has studied that, that's, you may need to go to grad school and study that. You may need to.
I'm going to. I mean, okay, we haven't had enough disability people on it yet to study like the disability.
Yeah.
But if we get like a few more like disabled people, I'm definitely going to study that. Because it's supposed to be a microcosm of society, right?
For
and
sure.
So, you know, Noelle, the girl, she's a Paralympian, okay? Mm. And, but still, I mean, not in like a ableist way. I mean, they're the best kind of survivor history. Such nice people.
Yeah.
At least the ones I've interacted with. Yeah. And I had one of them on this podcast. You should go back and listen to it.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I had the winner on the podcast.
What episode? Do you know?
No.
Okay.
I don't remember my episode.
I'm going to go back into your archive. I'm going to listen.
He got exempt from the press requirements because he donated all his money to veterans. So,
Wow.
I had him on. He was the nicest. And I asked him, do you feel like that Jeff, you know, treated them any differently? And he's like, nope, they got treated just the same.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
And very cool. So, and I think that like, anyway, her tribe in a non-ableist way was like, can she do this? Like,
yeah,
she only has one leg. Are you sure?
Yeah.
And it was so cool to see it shift. Like, oh my God, because she's the reason we're winning all these challenges.
Yeah.
And she was the only woman left on a tribe of, She and four guys were all that were left of her tribe because those boys needed her.
Yeah.
Because she was the reason that they were winning all these challenges.
Yeah.
And then you have to YouTube this when you get a chance.
Okay.
Noelle Lambert, Survivor Challenge win. She won a reward challenge. And she was like so behind in. There was this part where they had to cross the balance beam. And, you know, she's doing it on one leg.
Well, wow.
One leg in a prosthetic, right?
Yeah.
So she was on that beam for 20 minutes, came back and won it. And Jeff was like, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And just acknowledged her and of how much butt she kicked. And
right.
I'm like, if 8-year-old me could have seen that.
Oh yeah. My Lord.
Like that's, he was so genuinely impressed.
Yeah.
And not like an inspiration porny way, just like in a genuine way of how much she had overcome to get there.
Yeah. And, human accomplishment. Yeah, for sure.
Human accomplishment. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Okay. You've inspired me. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and watch it because I loved that show from the beginning and I just fell off. So I got to get back into it. I just got to do it.
So yeah, September 27th is the new season.
The new season.
Yeah, you can watch it. We could have like a Zoom session to talk about it.
I would love that. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm going to try.
Yeah. But if you had to pick one season, it would be 43. So.
Okay. That's definitely one I should go back. Yeah. And the other ones, maybe I don't have to watch as much, but I can like kind of read up and see like who won or, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, cool. Cool. I'm inspired that. And I need another thing to not to distract me from writing my syllabus. So I'm like, now I'm going to go watch these clips.
So yeah, but if you don't watch anything else, watch that reward challenge because that was incredible.
Cool. I definitely will.
Like, so anything ask me before we get off here.
I don't think so. It's just been so great talking with you and catching up with you.
It has. What do you watch on TV? I forgot to ask you that.
Oh my gosh, Devin. Did you ever watch the show Below Deck on Bravo?
No, but I've seen it in my reality TV, that podcast I told you about. It's like all reality TV.
Okay.
So they're doing a recap of it.
I never watched it. I was never a big fan of it. And then for some reason, we started watching it like 4 months ago. And there's like 300 episodes of the show. And there are all these spinoffs and all these things. And we have been watching it every day since then. And I'm obsessed with it. I know I have zero abilities to like run a boat. I don't know anything. I don't sail. I don't do any of these things. But I feel like I know about it now because I've watched so many episodes. It's also the only show that we can watch because I have a dog who is absolutely crazy and she's reactive. And so if there's any animal that appears on TV, she loses her mind and barks and freaks out. Oh my gosh,
then don't watch Survivor with her.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to watch it on my laptop. In between scenes,
like they show like these
animals.
Gorgeous shots of the animals in the water. So like
I'm gonna have to watch it on my computer because we've been watching Below Deck because there are no animals on the ship, and so she's fine with it. So we're stuck and we can't stop watching it. That's like all I've been watching, honestly. It's embarrassing.
What podcast are you listening to?
Oh my gosh,
podcast horror, because if you're like me, you listen to like 15.
I listen to a ton of podcasts, and they're mostly like ridiculous pop culture, social media stuff. I listen to your podcast. I love the podcast, How Did This Get Made? I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, it's How I Made Movies. This, How I, no, no. Oh, that's How I Built This.
This is different. I feel like you probably listen to smart podcasts. I listen to just like the, like.
Rob, when it, is like the king of like dumb humor, and yeah. I love
all these, like I listen to all these pop culture and social media stuff. I love the podcast Celebrity Memoir Book Club. That's the one that I have gotten into this year that I really love.
Okay, My MB Alex Breakdown is the one you have to do. You remember My MB Alex from Big Bang?
Oh my gosh,
she has.
I remember her from Blossom, which was a show in the 90s. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So, you know, she has a PhD in neuroscience in real life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I got into it and lost touch, and now I've been binging it. And I'm like, why do I relate to all this weirdly?
I'm adding it right now. Any other ones that I should?
Real Pod, definitely.
Okay.
Rob has a podcast, definitely.
Okay.
But the Below Deck stuff. It might, I don't know if it's under Rob has a podcast or the reality TV Rehab Ups, because he has two feeds.
So. Okay. I'm going to look that up because I also love listening to recaps of things I've already watched.
Just Google like Below Deck, Rob has a podcast, and it'll come up.
Cool. Awesome. I will listen.
So, yeah, that's. And he's hilarious. So if you need a laugh, he's a good laugh. He's a
good guy. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, where can people follow you on social media?
Okay. So I have the same username everywhere, and I'm on all of these 18 different social media platforms now. My name is JRBILLIN, JR Billin.
Thank you for being here. This was amazing. And honestly, thank you. And this has been my favorite one to date, honestly. So this
has been a blast. And thank you so much for having me on. I'm just super honored that you wanted me to be on this podcast. And I've just had a blast.
All right. We will see you guys next episode. Bye, guys.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to follow the show and our guests on social media and subscribe to the show on YouTube or in your favorite podcast app using the links in the show notes. If you're listening on the podcast app, please remember to rate and review us. See you next time.